Blog Talk Radio.
Tribe Family Channel, Men and Women of Honor Radio. I am Beverly Black, and I am proud and honored by the fact that I have been on the radio since 2011 because of family, and I have several family members that I plan to discuss and talk about today. You are listening to Men and Women of Honor Radio, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. This is hosted by yours truly, and it also gives a nod to our Gumbo for the Soul publications under the same name, Men of Honor and Women of Honor, respectively. Now, today I will be having a rife discussion with a gentleman named Alan T. Black, no relation. But what we're going to do is, on this special day, continue to honor Women's History Month, the month of March, and we are gathering once again to pay our respects through honors and tributes to those who have given us life, wisdom, knowledge, and guidance, the diamonds who helped direct our paths. If you would like to tune in, you can call 515-605-9741, or you can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Now, before I bring on my guest, I just want to say that it is due to Sarah Rachel Gaines Berry, born June 22nd, and called home January 13th of 2013. It is because of her that I am on the radio. She reached out to me and she asked an interview of me on her platform. I've always wanted to have a radio show, took radio broadcasting in high school, and she made it happen. We talked every day, we held each other accountable, and we grew very close, sisters and kindred in spirit. So I honor Rachel, and I also honor my natural sister. She was called home March 2nd, 2013, in the same year as Rachel. And I was really thrown, but life will throw you one. But when you continue to honor them in life, deed, and spirit, they will carry you through. You will come to know that they are the wind beneath your wings. And I've come to know that it is because of these sisters that I continue to thrive and push forward. But my first true matriarch and love was my grandmother. I'm a principled woman because of her teachings. My mother didn't play. The men in my life and the women in my life are why I am who I am today. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have the conversation here live on Tribe Family Channel with Alan T. Black to learn all about the men and women in his life that have made a difference and that have influenced him. We have four questions. We have four separate quarters that we are going to round up this hour of our time, and we are going to invite you to come into the call if you'd like. press 1 on your keypad, and I will see you in the studio if you have a question or a comment. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Mr. Alan T. Black, Christian author, speaker, and lyricist to Men and Women of Honor Radio. Hi, Alan, how are you?
Wow, what an amazing introduction, Ms. Beverly. It is such an honor to be with you this evening. I just hope I can live up to the standards of excellence that you have established over the years with this fantastic ministry that you have.
Oh, wow. Thank you so, so much. You have been wind beneath the wings of Tribe Family Channel, and we thank you for your continued sponsorship. And we invite our listeners to visit AlanTBlack.com for more about you and what you're doing in terms of your book and your voice and your message to the world. We thank you for your sponsorship for Tribe Family Channel. And I am going to invite you to expound in length to these questions. We're going to get in our commercial breaks, but you have no time constraints on you. So are you ready? I composed some questions. You know, we usually have our conversations and just flow and really drop those gems. But I thought, you know, let me compose some questions and ask each of my guests on these particular Sundays the same question. So I'm going to pose question number 1 to you, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. Who was the first man and woman in your life, and what impression have they had upon you, good, bad, or indifferent? Because all of these are quantifiers to our resiliency as human beings.
I think in my case that as much as anything, because growing up in the 60s, I came from what is considered today the nuclear family, mother and father in the household, and so that was the environment that I was in. And I can say without hesitation, Beverly and audience, that it really and truly was my mother and my father who stand as the foremost influencers as far as who I am today as, say, a kind of age. It's amazing. I often think about this, Beverly, in terms of what I call the subconscious and the conscious, and let me explain what I'm referring to. I think as each of us are growing up, subconsciously we are absorbing the things that we see, that we hear, and the things that we see played out in front of us on a daily basis, whether it's good or bad. And I think that subconscious level of, say, integration as far as into your spirit and into your soul continues to a certain point where after a while you begin to kind of model yourself after the very people who are the most present in your life. I'm looking back now and I'm thinking about the fact that from the subconscious level of influence that my parents had instilled in me, now I'm at a point in my life where I'm looking back and I see the conscious reality of the fact that there were certain things they taught me. There were certain ways they said, this is how you do it, this is how you don't do it. And so now I'm beginning to recognize those lessons and those life impacts they had on me from the time I was born as a child. It's funny because I find myself, and I'm sure anybody who's of a certain age can say that they grew up and at a certain point they said, well, I see how mom and dad do certain things, but I'm not going to do it that way when I get grown. And it is amazing. Invariably, Beverly, I promise you. You look up one day, and if you have kids, you say something, and you catch yourself, and you thought, oh, my goodness, I sound just like my parents. And you find yourself, I become my parents. What happened? And I laugh about it now because I do things and I say things, and I'm thinking to myself, I promise I would never, ever, ever do those things. But again, it's that subconscious internalization of what I saw and experienced that comes to the surface, and then I carry out those very things in a conscious manner that I step back and I'm saying, I'm doing exactly what my mother said. I'm doing exactly what my father said. And I said I would never do it. And I think sometimes what happens is the subconscious absorption of those things is so strong and so prevalent that it's going to come to the surface and manifest itself in a manner at times where it just comes out automatically, even if you're not thinking about it, because you have been so preconditioned and so trained to do and say things in a manner that consciously it comes out at a moment in time and you're doing it, and then you may realize, oh, I've become my parents. You might laugh about it or you might get upset. But in a lot of ways, Beverly, it's not something you can really help because of what was instilled in you. I know I'm hitting another, so you're laughing. I know you're thinking, you're flashing back and you're saying, man, he sounds like he's reading a book on my life because that's exactly what I've done in my own life, right?
Well, exactly right, and I will take it even further. I'm laughing because I can unpack your answer in so many ways. First of all, you've answered question number two already, so I don't know what you're going to say about question number two after what you just said. But my mentor and minister is the 86 years young leader of the Tougaloo Nine, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., led, trained, and mentored by the late, great Megger Wiley Evers. He told me that I made him feel like we were sitting on the porch drinking mint julep back in the South. And he said, sister, when's the last time you've been back home? I said, I've never set foot in the South. He said, what? And so it is because of, he interviewed me for a little over an hour on the radio. He's an investigator. And he needed to find out what it was about me. And I was confused because the interview was about my parents and my grandparents. And he concluded with his empirical data to inform me that I didn't even know what it was about myself. He said, it's those Southern roots. And I said, okay. He said, it's those three strands of Southern roots. My mother's and my grandmother's from Louisiana. My father, Texas. My stepfather, West Virginia. And I'm all woven in to the South, having never stepped foot in it. And so what you are saying is going to come right out of one word in question number two. But the other thing that I was laughing about is when you said, you know, doing things and, you know, I'm turning into, you know, my parents. And I swear, I walk around here and if I haven't turned into my parents, I don't know who has, okay? Because I even went so far as to buy a purse that only my mother would buy, and I could not stand these types of purses. And when I realized and looked at the purse, I made it a makeup bag. I said, oh, no, 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 no. You done bled into my choice of purses? I'm not doing it, okay? And so the second question, which is exactly what you said. I don't know what you're going to give me for question number two, but we're going to go there. What takeaways have those that you have either taught, raised, or mentored are a direct part of the socialization of those that most impacted your life. And our socialization is what makes us who we are and why we do what we do. And why we can't help but be fashioned after the ones that raised us. They had a hand in the ingredients that were made of. But what takeaways have those that you have either taught, raised, or mentored are a direct part of that socialization that you just spoke of, Alan T. Black?
Oh, boy, that is such a deep question because I don't have children by birth, but I have three godchildren that I have part of their life from the time they were born. My oldest one, she turns 34 this year. And I was sitting here, I was looking at her picture right before we started our conversation right now. And I was looking at her picture from the time she was a little girl, Beverly. And here's the thing that is so scary in a way. And we're talking about two people, myself and my goddaughter, who are not biologically connected in terms of kinship or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But when I see her and when I talk with her, because I've been around her the longest than the other two children, because she's the oldest. Mm-hmm. I began to be around her at the time she was 2 weeks old. And it is amazing that when I step back and I observe her behavior, and I can see the change of my own personality in her, her disposition, how she responds, how she can be like quiet, observant at times. And it kind of scares me in a way, Beverly, because I thought to myself, I didn't realize I was doing that. I guess, again, I was doing it subconsciously. And now in a conscious state of observation, I'm beginning to see some of her personality traits and how she responds and how she acts in certain situations. And it's gotten even scarier because this is the part that's really scary, is the fact that a lot of people that have seen us together, they're like, okay, well, Alan, that's your daughter, right? I said, no, she's not my daughter. She's my goddaughter. And they looked at her and they looked at me and they said, but you don't act just like.
Wow.
And I said, I don't know what to say at that point. I said, okay. And he said, well, she has whether you realize it or not. I didn't really realize it. I did not realize it until somebody pointed out to me. And I thought, wow. And it was at that point that I really had a real awakening of the impact of what relationships are about when they are cultivated in a way where you are pouring into somebody subconsciously or consciously on a daily basis. They take on your traits. And with the case of my goddaughter, there were certain things that happened in her life that's almost a parallel thing that I went through at a younger age. And it scares me. I'm thinking, how could this be, God? This is like, we're not even related. But I'm seeing things that are happening in her life, and it's just amazing. And then I think back, too, to my time when I was working at the university here in my city, and I worked as an academic advisor for the Teachers College. And Beverly, I worked with thousands of students. And I'm looking back now, and I'm beginning to see how I may have had an impact on some students during those time. And this has been 20, 25 years ago. And I'll never forget about 6 years ago, I remember I ran into one of my former students at a social event. I honestly did not think she remembered me because I hadn't seen her in about 10, 15 years prior to that evening. And she came over and she said, hi, Mr. Black, how are you doing? I said, well, hey, how are you doing? She said, do you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember. And she said, you know what? I just want you to know that when I was in undergrad school, you were really hard on me. And she said, I really did not like you at the time. And I said, why? She said, because you were hard on me. She said, you weren't mean, but you were hard on me, and I didn't understand and at the time I didn't like it. But she said, you know what? I realize now that you were hard on me because you wanted me to be the absolute best and not coast through my college career and prepare me for going out into the world because it was going to be tough. She said, no, I thank you for that. But she said, you know what? I understand what you were doing. And I thought to myself, you know, I guess I was hard on her because I wanted her to be the best that she could absolutely be. And I hear that now from some of my former students that are like, yeah, you know what? You provided a safe space for me. I always felt like I could come in and just talk with you and just be myself. And I've had several students tell me that, and they said, you know, I just want to thank you because you really made an impact on me. And I'm the kind of person, Beverly, that I don't really give a lot of thought to the impact I may or may not have on somebody or in their life, simply because I've always felt like if this is what I'm being called to do, just do it. You don't make a big deal of it. You just do what you're called to do. And even in doing that now, I look back and I understand, again, this comes back, circles back again to the influence of my father. Because my father was the kind of person, Beverly, who, if there was something that needed to be done, he very quietly went about doing it. He didn't draw a lot of attention to himself, and he rarely, if ever, talked about it. And as I got older, I began to hear certain things. He would let certain things out, and I was like, I never knew you did that. But he kept them to himself because he just said, you know what? It isn't about you announcing what it is that you need to do. It's about you going out and doing it because that's the calling that you have and you answer that call. And so I'm beginning to see now that pattern in my life where I've tried to do things. I didn't make a big deal out of it because that's not what it was about. But I just tried to do things that would have an impact, hopefully, and would help somebody. And I'll never forget my my godson, who now is, I think he'll be 32 this year, I believe. These kids are getting old, and I'm getting old. That's another story for another time. But I went to him about 2 years ago. He came by the house, and he had a young man that he was kind of helping to mentor. And so the young man was asked him, he said, well, okay, well, who is this guy here? And without missing a beat, my godson said, well, this is my goddad. He said, you know what? He was a man who was there for me all the time when I was a kid when my father wasn't there at times. He said, wow. He was like my first father. And Beverly, he said, he was like my first father. I almost fell over because I thought, I just never thought about the impact I was having with him.
Wow.
And I almost started crying because I thought, wow, what an honor for him to say that. But, again, it circles back to the things that my father taught me. Do what it is you're called to do. Don't talk about it. Just do it. Because he said, in the end, people will tell you later if they appreciate it. And he said, even if they don't tell you, it's not about being thanked sometimes. It's about doing what you're called to do. Because they will pass it on and they will pay it forward in their own lives in their own particular way. But you have started that process by doing what it is that you were called to do. So that's kind of where I'm at as far as the influences that I've had on people. I've always said, you know what, it comes from my parents. It comes from my community that the village really had an impact on me because I was taught that, you know what, if somebody is doing something and they're pouring into you, then you have the moral obligation at some point later on when you're able to pour into somebody else because that's how you honor those who took time to be patient with you. You pay it forward at the time and in the
season.
That's a beautiful answer, and that is a very beautiful thing to come to that level of realization in our lives where we can see who has impacted our actions and how we've impacted others by our own walk and journey. And, you know, nonchalantly, you're being a godfather. You're being there. You're present. You're in the moment. You're intentional. And you're doing it out of the love of your heart. So you're not really taking into account that later in life this will be accredited to being that father figure. And so it's beautiful to hear a testament of such, because God is really allowing you to realize the relational part of being a parent, godparent, because it's really not about whether we have a birth relationship, you know, any blood. There are people that we are related to that I promise you we wish we weren't. There are people that we aren't related to, and I promise you, you couldn't tell us that we're not. So it's the ebb and flow of life and the relationships that we build and those that survive the sisterhoods of that ebb and flow that we call life. And it's that learning each other as we go along, so we become, again, woven into each other's lives, and those impressions therein, they become prevalent by, you know, the testimonies that we hear. You know, this person was always there for me, like your godson gave testimony to, and it almost knocked you over because you've never looked at it in that way, because you are there because that is coming from your heart. You're not looking for anything in return. You're hard on your God or the student because you saw the potential and the best, and that's what you do when you do not want someone to fall through the cracks. And school education, that is the first, I mean, if anyone can fall through the cracks, it's when you take them to school and drop them off at five, okay? And then from there, they're matriculating another world. And so foundationally, you have really imparted yourself into your God children, and it's a beautiful testament to hear. Now, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We are live on Men and Women of Honor, and I have the pleasure and privilege of having Mr. Alan T. Black as a guest this Sunday afternoon. We'll be right back.
A pioneer of soul. Over six decades of hits. The Shotlights, featuring Marshall Thompson.
Oh, girl, I see in
the music has stood the test of time.
Why, oh,
with all the unforgettable hits.
I'm gonna give you a
now, Marshall Thompson has a new message.
This song is for the children and their dreams.
It's to hold on to your dreams.
You can be a lawyer, doctor, and even a president. All you got to do is believe.
The Shotlights, featuring Marshall Thompson. Hold on to your dreams.
Believe in love. Let love be the light.
In these times, an inspirational message that needs to be heard. Available now on Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, and iTunes.
In our lives every day, we are faced with difficult challenges that overwhelm us, that take a lot out of us emotionally, mentally, and physically. There are so many things that we can't control. Being held down by the struggles of life, we seek a transformation and a need to connect to the Lord, trusting in Him to complete us and to direct and lead us in the right path. From song lyricist and Christian author Alan T. Black comes his latest book, Just a Closer Walk, sharing the story of a journey that is sure to resonate with each reader. Just a Closer Walk is the third book for best-selling Christian author Alan T. Black. For more information, please visit alantblack.com. That's A-L-A-N-T-B-L-A-C-K.com.
And welcome back live on Tri-Family Channel's Men and Women of Honor Radio. I am Beverly Black, and I am broadcasting from Las Vegas, Nevada at the Shy Lights Chateau. It is an honor and a privilege to have dropped my eighth book, which is The Soul School Music Memoirs of Dr. Marshall Thompson, The Last Man Standing of the Shy Lights, reflecting upon six seasons of Soul School Music Radio in which we hosted together. So you can pick that book up at soulschoolmusic.com, and the foreword is by Dr. Otis Williams of The Temptations. We are back with Mr. Alan T. Black, lyricist, Christian author, and speaker. He is a mentor. He is the sponsor of this broadcast. His website is alantblack.com, so please visit our sponsor. Mr. Alan T. Black, I love your responses, and I'm going to get on to question number three. How are you reinforcing positive and impacting actions towards others in your life? I know you do a lot. I see your posts going viral on Facebook and social media. You have gentlemen friends that are on other broadcasts with you. I have heard songs by you. I have seen just a plethora of different things coming from you, books out, and different things that you're involved in. So what positive and impacting actions towards others are you reinforcing in your life?
I think, first of all, Beverly, more than anything, the impact that's going to be positive has to be by virtue of not entirely what you say, but what are you doing on a daily basis? Because we live in a day and time where things are visual and people are going by what they see as much as anything. So what I was taught from the time I was a kid was this is how you do it. Again, goes back to my father. Don't talk about it. Just go out there and do it and be consistent. And so I look now and I see how it was with my parents in terms of their everyday behavior and how they did things. They were consistent. And just by the consistency, that is what created in myself and my sister the desire and the commitment to be positive and to have an impact. And I'm convinced that as much as anything, it's by your actions. That's what it's all about. So what I've tried to do, again, maybe subconsciously or consciously, is just try to be the kind of person that, first of all and foremost, my parents would be proud of. And because of the standards that they have established as far as how it is I should carry out my life, that automatically is going to place me in the arena of doing things that are going to be positive and that are going to be hopefully impacting. The things that we do, Beverly, that are impacting have to come as much as anything from the heart, because people will recognize if you're just doing it for show, or in the era of social media, they're going to recognize if you're just doing it for clicks and trying to get people to follow you. People see through that. Clickbait, exactly. That's exactly what it is. But it's really about what are you doing on a daily basis, and not just in the good times, but in the bad times. Because we're all going to go through things that are not good. We're going to go through the trials and tribulations. But will you continue to be as consistent as you possibly can throughout the process of that journey through the valley? And that's what people are going to see. And if you are being an influencer, using that social media term, it's going to be because people are seeing who you are in the good, in the bad, in the daytime and in the nighttime. And that's what people are going to be drawn towards. And whether we realize it or not, and this is something I've really come to understand in the last 10 or 15 years, who we are that we are carrying out on a daily basis. I wonder sometimes, do we really have a true understanding of the impact that it can have on somebody, not because of what we're saying, but because of what we're doing, Beverly. Mm-hmm. Somebody can see what you're doing. People are seeing how you have taken this platform, this ministry that you have from the time of 2011 to this
Bless
point here in 2024. And they're saying, man, I remember when Beverly was starting this thing and I wasn't sure about it. Where she's at 13 years later.
And when she wasn't sure about it.
Okay, you weren't sure about it. But here's the thing. You have instilled in you the fact that going back to your service, that even mm-hmm. though you could not see it, it mm-hmm. was those southern roots deep down in your DNA that mm-hmm. made you say, "You, if I can conceive this, then I have the potential to achieve it." And you kept mm-hmm. going on despite the fact that at times you did not see whether or not it would come to fruition. And here you are 13 years later, and you're looking back
wow.
and you're saying, wow, God, you brought me from a mighty long way. And we all can testify to that very fact, just because of the fact that we believe, but we made it a point to not just have the faith, but we put our faith into some form of action. And again, the unseen is important because people are seeing what we're doing. They're hearing how we carry ourselves, how we express ourselves, that we don't even know them. But they're hearing and they're seeing and they're saying, you know what, if Beverly's doing it or if Alan's trying to do it the right way, then maybe there's something to that and maybe I need to follow along that same path. Because our influence and how we can impact people is beyond just what we see in those people that we know. I always think about the story about somebody says, well, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? And the answer to that is yes. And the reason the answer is because it makes a sound. You didn't hear it. But it doesn't change the fact that it made a sound. Tying that to the fact that what we're doing, we may not see the impact of it, but just be mindful of the fact that whether we see it or not, other people are observing and they're hearing what we're doing, even if we don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you are so right, and that's why you really – if you are out there in that social media world speaking to the listeners, you and I, we obviously are. But this is why I carry myself as though the world is watching, because they are. It doesn't matter whether there was one click, two clicks, or 100 clicks. The impact of what we post and what we say, we know not how far and wide it travels, but trust me, just like you said in your response, our words has an impact. Our actions has an impact on that world outside of us, around us. Paraphrasing, of course, when I said like you said, I'm saying in reference to the aforementioned, I totally agree, and that's how I have to carry myself, as though the world is watching, because they are. Now, we're going to take another commercial break in honor of our sponsors. We're so grateful to be on Tribe Family Channel's Men and Women of Honor Radio, and we want to make sure that our sponsors know that they are appreciated. We will be right back with our guest, Mr. Alan T. Black, after these messages.
Hey, Mike Oley. Did you know Heart Notes is Dr. Maxine Bryant's most recent book of poetry?
No, I had no idea.
Well, in this book, she captures and shares her experiences in Africa in a most poetic style. She writes of love and lost love.
Truly my experiences.
She writes of successes and challenges. She also writes of everyday experiences that many can relate to. Okay. She writes life-changing words for you and me. She writes from her heart to your heart. This book of poetry, Heart Notes, will resonate with you on so many levels. I'm looking forward to reading that. Go to drmaxinebryant.com for more information, or you can call Patricia Maltz, 612-685-1258, to find out how you can get the poet herself at your next event. 612-685-1258. And I believe Dr. Bryant will thank you. Sometimes women proudly wear their S on their chest for Superwoman. Then, as time goes by, they realize our S is a mess. Dr. Maxine Bryant's book, I Want My Groove Back, God's Way, is one way to transition out of this mess and step into experiencing feeling blessed. Dr. Maxine Bryant has been there and done that, from making bad decisions after bad decisions regarding men and money, to experiencing low self-esteem, to experiencing the ultimate pain of losing her adult daughter to a tragic death. In her book, she identifies proven steps to regaining groove. Connect with Dr. Bryant to experience your own groove back journey. Contact her personally at drmaxinebryant.com, or if you want to bring Dr. Bryant to your women's group, call Patricia Malt at 612-685-1258. You will not be disappointed. Women are often great communicators, but sometimes words seem to get in the way, or you just can't find the right words to say. But Dr. Maxine Bryant has two books of poetry that contains words to soothe the soul. Her first book of poetry is entitled Truth Be Told. One viewer said, these are the unusually secret, sacred, unrevealed words of a proud black woman told in truth for all to see. Order your copy today. Go to Dr. Maxine Bryant for more information and to order your book. Or you can call Patricia Maltz to find out just how you can get the poet herself at your next event. 612-685-1258. Your call is very important.
Thank you so much, Dr. Maxine Bryant, for your sponsorship of Men and Women of Honor Radio on Tribe Family Channel. I am Beverly Blair. Gumbo for the Soul International is the parent company to Tribe Family Channel. We are at www.gumbofortheSoulInternational.com for all of your publishing needs. Be sure to visit us for more information. AllenTBlack.com is our guest sponsor today. This conversation is going to go back to Mr. Black with our next question. What do you want people to most understand about you and the role you are playing right now in this life? What does that dash in the middle define about you?
Wow, that's a powerful question, Beverly. Boy, that makes you sit back and think, man, I've got to really think about that and reflect on it. I would say that as much as anything, when I look at the course of my life now, and I remember seeing someone putting out something about the fact that when the majority of your life is behind you as opposed to ahead of you, it makes you, it causes you to start thinking about things in a different way. And I'm saying that to say this, Beverly, as much as anything, I think with my life, what it should show is that, hey, this is an example of somebody who started out in an environment out of the projects, who came up poor, but the poorness as such was from the financial side and the economic side. But I realize now, Beverly, that's not what was really important. the richness that I had, and I've been blessed to have a part of my life, is because of the parents that I had, the fantastic sister that I had, and the village that I was blessed to be a part of. And I think what's important for each of us is to sometimes stop and really look at how rich your life has been, because that's what I'm doing now in this time and this season. My richness is not just the financial. It's about the experiences, the people. I've been blessed to have a part of my life, the good and the bad, the relationships that I've been able to cultivate and hold on to throughout the course of my life. And so I would ask people to look at my life as an example of somebody who just said, you know what, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to see what life is going to present me, but whatever it is, I'm going to remain true to myself and not allow the things around me in this world to compromise the character that I've been called to develop. It's easy when you get to a certain point that you begin to change and you begin to compromise. That temptation is always there, but the one thing I can definitely speak about is the fact that that was something my parents did not and would not tolerate, is for you to compromise the essence of who you are, because they said it reflects them. It reflects the village that you were part of when you compromise and you change in a selfish manner. And so that's one thing, Beverly, I've never done. And I've had friends that were at my high school reunion this past summer of 23. And they were saying, you know what, you pretty much are the same person you were back then. You haven't really changed. I said, well, I've tried to be. And what they meant was, well, yeah, we all got older, we all got gray or whatever the case may be. But they said, your character is the same. And I take that as a compliment, because there are so many influences out there, so many temptations that definitely calls us to switch up and to say, well, I'm going to compromise a little here or a little there. And then before you know it, we've lost the essence of who we are. And so I've been blessed that I've never had to go down that road. And even before I started doing that, I will immediately flash back to, is this something that my parents would do? Is this really honoring my grandparents and my uncles and my aunts as far as who they were and what they aspired to be? Because I recognize, Beverly, that our ancestors, our elders, and I'm talking about coming up in the 30s and the 40s back in there, they sacrificed so much for each of us. And they put up with so much. They had to endure so much.
Lord,
but they did because they understood that God would provide a day and a time when things would be better. And so I've always had that attitude that, you know what, for the things that maybe my grandmother was not able to do, she wasn't able to go to school. When it came time for me to get out of high school and go to college, I embraced that. I said, because, you know, grandma didn't get a chance to do that. And I can even recall when I was working at my university in my academic career, when the students that I would work with from the time they were freshmen until they were getting ready to graduate as seniors. Now, what I'm about to say is very selfish, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But I can recall talking about when they were going to graduate, they're just going to have the university just mail their degree and they're going about their life. And I told them, I said, no. I said, I would not advise you to do that, and I'm going to tell you why. I said, because you know what? When you walk across that stage and you get your degree, if it's your bachelor's, your master's, or your PhD, it's greater than you, because you're doing something that has resulted in you standing on the shoulders of people who came before you and people who, Beverly, may not have had that chance or that opportunity. You go into the situation, you walk across that stage because you are validating their dreams, you are honoring that which they prayed for, and you are fulfilling the dream that they had that one day someone and their family would walk across that stage and get their degree, or would be in a position in a job where they were really making an impact on more people than they anticipated. That's why you do those kind of things, because, again, never forget where you came from, because I'm convinced that when you forget where you came from, you are really going to be leaning towards going your own direction, and you lose your sense of a compass of about where you should be and what direction you should be headed. And so I've learned those through that the course of my living. I'm 69 now. I'll be 69 at the end of April. And I look back.
Oh, happy birthday, Early.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be 69 April 29th. And I'm at a point now, Beverly, where I look back and I say, you know what? I get it. I'm kind of slow sometimes, but I understand now what my parents were talking about. I understand the feelings that my grandmother displayed when she was dealing with certain illnesses, where they told her she would never walk again, and she just said, no, I'm going to walk. Just watch. And I see now in my case where, because of my grandmother, my mother's mother, who in the late 30s contracted polio, and she was in one of those iron lungs for a year or so, and they told her she would never walk again. And she told those doctors, she told the doctors, Beverly, she said, no, I'm going to walk, just watch. And they gave her maybe a 1% chance of walking. And within about 2 or 3 years after getting out of that iron lung, she was walking again. And I get it, Beverly, because I understand the strength and the absolute commitment to make something happen in spite of the circumstances. And I've looked back now and I begin to see, oh my goodness, when I felt like I couldn't go on and I was drawing from a well of strength, I was drawing from that DNA that had been instilled in my mother that passed on to me, whether I realized it or not. That's what you have drawn from your southern roots, even though you've never been south. It's deeply deposited in your spirit. And when it's destined to come, that's when it comes to the surface. That's when you draw from it. And then you say, yeah, I can do this in spite of everything that looks bad or the circumstances around me, maybe not being in my favor. But you continue to press on. You don't give up.
You know, and you said a mouthful on this day that my hero, Harriet Tubman, was called home. Speaking of pressing and not giving up and going towards the mark and following the North Star and continuing on the journey and being a person of action and principles. And so I just want to really thank you for being a guest sponsor and for speaking your truth and for giving us these gems. I can go back and play this show over and over and over because you truly drop a lot of gems that we can all take to heart and apply in our lives. I really especially appreciate going back to the ancestors and what was imparted in us, whether we know it or not. They have guided and directed our path. They have seeded into our spirit that sustenance and wisdom which we would need for the journey. And so your message bringing us back around to those gems is a refreshing reminder because we have to stay the course. Our forefathers and mothers, they went through so much, so many trials and tribulations, and they died for our freedoms. They died for our right to live a life of liberty and justice and the pursuit of happiness. They died so that we could vote and have a democracy. They died so that we could live free by our own choices. And so the fact that they also died so that we can live at a higher station in life, go to school. They broke barriers where it was for whites only so that we could accelerate beyond the level which they were held down to. But they fought at that level. And what we have to do is meet the crisis where it is. meet the problem where it is. And we have to go boldly. We have to go boldly because it is not going to be one of those things where there won't be any sweat from our brow in this life. The vicissitudes of life will affect and impact us all. How we respond, that is what is critical for the story that we're writing on our journey. So that's just my two cents. And Alan Black, I want to thank you so very, very much, Mr. Alan T. Black, for being my guest sponsor on Men and Women of Honor Radio. The time has flown by, but give us some last words about what you would like our audience to know. You have your books out. We know your website is alantblack.com. What about your books would we find refreshing? Mother's Day is coming up. We know that people buy a lot of gifts for Mother's Day, and we definitely feel that continuing to spread good, ripe wisdom through our voices, it would be a good choice. So what books can anyone anticipate when they visit your website?
With my writings, Beverly, I write from a position which is very reflective. It is observational about the things that have happened along my life journey. As a Christian author, I'm in the classification of Christian inspirational. My writings are very down-to-earth. They're very relatable. One of my favorite chapters, which is an ebook called Just a Closer Walk. And it really ties into our topic today. One of the short essays, and all of my chapters are about 2 or 3 pages.
Mm-hmm.
One chapter in my third book, Just a Closer Walk, is called A Blank Canvas. And what I'm referring to there, Beverly, is each of us come into this world. Each of us come into this world as a blank canvas. Over the course of our journey, from the time we're born until we leave this world, there are events that are going on, there are people, there are activities that are being poured into our life that begin the process of filling in this canvas that each of us call life. And there comes a point in time when you want to stop and look back over the course of your life, look at your canvas, and think about the things and people, all kinds of things that have gone on, and how it filled that canvas that you call life. Your parents, maybe your grandparents, you reading about the history of us as people, you reading about the story or the journey of your great-great-grandparents who may, like in my case, escape from the state of Arkansas in 1834.
Wow.
From slavery. So I look at those things now and I realize all of these things are part of my blank canvas. But the question for each of us, Beverly, is what's in your canvas? And what's in your canvas, how has it shaped and molded you to be the person that you are? And then the responsibility becomes, how are you going to pour into the canvas of someone else to help them become the best that they want to become?
Well, that is going to wrap it up. We appreciate those words of wisdom, and I want to again thank you for taking the time to spend today with us on Men and Women of Honor. We also honor the memory of Joni Sledge from Sister Sledge. I sent Kathy Sledge a text message today from Tribe Family Channel and all of our supporters, and that would include you, Alan. And we just want to go out with We Are Family. We are family. Just like the beginning of the show, expressing where we've come from and who's impacted us and the men and the women that have raised us, the parents, the grandparents, and those that have molded and formed our thought processes and our principles and our participation in life because of their actions and our observations of those actions, we've become who we are. Our socialization is based upon the men and women of honor that raised us. We thank them. I thank you, Alan, and I want to thank our listeners. Have a very blessed rest of your Sunday, and we will be back live on Tribe Family Channel this Thursday for A Book Is Born. My guest will be Kathy L. Webb, and we will be back the Sunday following for Men and Women of Honor Radio once again, and my guest will be Danny Smith Mathis. Have a blessed evening. Thank you so much again, Mr. Alan T. Black. And we are family. No relation, but we are family. Have a blessed one. And thanks again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Tribe Family Channel. Tribe Family Channel.